by. We're about to begin. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. Now, at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Kathy Bertram. Ms. Bertram, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Kathy Bertram, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and within 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. You can replay this at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. If you are unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site or by going to any IBM.com site. Type in the number 700-6627 in the search box in the black section at the top of the page. If you still cannot access the presentation, you can instant message the co-moderator, Billy Godlewski, and her email is billy@us.ibm.com, or send an email to WSEHelp, that is WSEHelp@us.ibm.com, and she will assist you. Today's presenter is Edward Addison. Ed is a senior software engineer working in Raleigh, North Carolina for CICS Level 2 support. Prior to working in CICS Level 2, he was a member of the VSAM Level 2 support in San Jose, California. Ed has been with IBM for 15 years supporting VSAM and CICS customers. Ed is also a frequent presenter at the Transaction and Message Conference and Share. Today's topic is record-level sharing debugging in a CICS environment. It will include a PowerPoint presentation followed by a question and answer session. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, the lines will be open for a question and answer session. If you are in the e-meeting, you will see the presentation. At this point, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ed.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. I'm here to give the record level sharing debugging in a CICS environment. Before we start, I want to tell everybody that I really like RLS. I think it solves a lot of problems that customers have had over the years, the main one being that you can get rid of the file owning region, or your FOR. You no longer have that single point of failure of a file owning region. When that goes down, all your data sets go down. So with RLS, all the data sets are local to your region, and you are going to the SMS BSAM server, and if a data set goes down, then only that data set goes down, and you can take it offline and recover. That's one of the problems it solves. And another major problem is data integrity. RLS allows you to have complete write-read integrity throughout the sysplex. Throughout an entire sysplex, you have write and read integrity. So you could have hundreds of KIX regions on multiple MBSs all sharing this data. So no longer will you have the problem of, I wrote this record out, but this region can't read it. So it solves that problem as well. So moving on to page 2 here, to our sump, this is the agenda that we're going to be going over today. We're going to be going over some RLS wait types that are new with RLS and some that are old, but they still pertain to RLS. And we're going to go over the new RLS add-ins that you may have to configure your applications for, because these are new add-ins that come only with RLS. One of the major problems we have is this documentation gathering, and I'll show you how to get the right documentation to present to Level 2 when you have an RLS problem. Then we'll be going over the control blocks that we use in CICS to shoot RLS problems, and we're going to get down to the control block level. So this is going to be a very technical pitch here, so we're going to be getting to the bits and bytes. We're going to be talking about the macros that VSAM and RLS use to manipulate the data sets. Then we're going to get into the debugging. So I got debugging using only CEMT. We're going to get into a structure full condition, an FCVR wait debugging. And FCVR wait's like the old file control FCIO wait. So you're waiting for IO. Or you could also, for RLS, you could also be waiting for a record lock. And then AFCV debugging. All right, so if we move to page 3, we'll talk about the RLS waits that you can have. Now, we're going to have 2 or 3 pages of waits here. I'm not going to talk about every one of them in the essence of time, but there are some that I want you to really pay attention to. One of these ones is these FCC FQR and FCC FQS. We always have a lot of customers saying, what are these waits? And what these are long-running tasks. We have a CFQR task, which is a quiesce receive, and we're going to talk a little bit about quiesce later on. And the QS, FCQS, is a quiesce send. So you'll see these waits. You don't really have to worry about them because they're long-running tasks. They're just sitting out there waiting for a quiesce to come in or a quiesce to leave your region. Moving on to the next page, page 4, we have some more waits. One of them you'll see is the FCFS wait, and what that's doing is you're waiting for the file state to change. You're waiting it to, from go to close to open or open to close. And we can still only open or close one data set at a time within CICS. And while that one data set's being opened or closed, if you have other data sets being opened or closed, they'll be in this wait. But it shouldn't be for a long time. If it is for a long time, when we get to documentation gathering, I'll show you what documentation to gather for that type of wait. Now, this one's always been around. The third one down, FCPS wait, that's a private string wait. RLS gives you automatically 1,024 strings per your file definition, so you no longer have to worry on your file definition by saying, I want 10 strings, I want 20 strings. It automatically gives you 1,024. Well, max task in CICS is only 999, so we've often had customers saying, how come I got a private string wait when max task is 999 and I have 1,024 strings? Well, usually what they do is they have an alternate index or more above their data set. So if they have like 5 alternate indexes above their data set, we're going to need 6 strings per request. So, you know, you can reach that 1,024 before you reach the 999 max task. So be aware that you can still get a string wait even though you have 1,024 strings. And on this page as well, we have the FCQ UIES, and that is once those tasks that receive the quiesce that we talked about on the previous page, once they receive the quiesce, they'll be in this wait until the quiesce is complete. So, and this has been a problem in the past about quiesces, and we'll talk about quiesces in a little bit, but you'll see this wait if you're waiting for the quiesce to complete. And we'll talk about the documentation together for that as well when we get to that point. So moving on to page 5 of the pitch, there's another page of wait. So you have a lot of waits with RLS because it's essentially a brand new coding to vSAM. It doesn't use traditional vSAM at all. So you got a whole new set of weights and you got a whole new set of ABNs within CICS. And on this page, what we see quite a bit is the FCRD wait. And this says it's waiting for a drain of the RLS control ACB to complete. And I hope you never see this, but what this does is if your SMS vSAM server terminates, we have to stop all activity to that server. And those tasks will be in this wait until the server comes back up and we are able to reconnect to it, and then it'll be out of this wait. So in the past, let's see, RLS has been around for around 10 years now. In the past, there were times when I thought it maybe came down too quick or came down when there wasn't a large enough problem to make it come down. But RLS has put a lot of good serviceability into their product now, and I don't see this hardly any at all anymore. So, in fact, I haven't seen one in like 3 years. So the RLS server is not terminating hardly at all anymore like it used to, so that's good news. And this FCRV wait down here next to the bottom, one up from the bottom, is the one we're going to be looking at debugging later. So it's waiting for an I.O. or record lock. So this is the one where you're waiting for I.O. to complete, just like in traditional VSAN, it was an FCIO wait, right? And those, it shouldn't be too long to wait for an IO to complete. But in RLS, it's also a record lock, because you have to remember there's one SMS VSAN server per MVS region, or per MVS, and all these KIX regions are going to that SMS VSAN server at the same time, and you could have this file local to 100 KIX regions, and they're all competing for that record lock. So there can be an FCRB waiting for that record lock, and we'll show you how to shoot that. That's going to be one of the ones we shoot, because this is the most common, is FCRB wait. Okay, so if we go to page 6, we'll start talking about the new RLS ABINs. And these ones you could also get in regular VSAN, this AFCG and the AFCK. And that says the transactions issues a sequence of file control requests that would cause the file to become deadlocked. For instance, it issued a read for update against the same data set and key. So it issued a read for update on key A, data set A, and it issued it over again. We'll just ABIN it with an AFCG. We'll say you did something that you weren't supposed to do. And the other ones on this page are really not too interesting. I just wanted to let you know that they're there, and a little bit of description of what each one is. So if we move on to the next page, to page 7, the ones we used to see a lot when the server came down was this AFCT, and what it's saying is that the server's been recycled. So in other words, you started a sequence of file control requests, like say you did a read for update, and then the server came down, and it actually came back up. By the time you issued your rewrite, you'd get this AFCT ABIN because you're on a different instance of the server. And like I said, I haven't seen these in years anymore, so don't worry too much about them. We used to see them all the time, but we haven't seen them in years. So, like I said, RLS really put some good serviceability into their product in like the last 5 years. So if we go to page 8, the next one, there's one more page of ABINs. And one of the interesting ones on this page is this AFDH. That's the lock structure. In the coupling facility is full, so in the coupling facility, you have to have a lock structure for RLS. It's called IGW-LOCK00. And when that's full, you get this AFDH ABIN, and because it can't create any new locks. So that's very bad, but it is common if you don't tune your lock structure right. And we're also going to look at one of these AFDH ABINs and show you how to debug one of those when we get to the debugging part of the pitch. Okay, so if we move to page 9, I just wanted to put in a picture of a simple SysPlex. This is a SysPlex I run here. It's in Hursley, England, but this is what all of the level 2 reps run on. And what we got is we got three MVSs, MV20, MV23, and MV24. And you can see on MV20, I have KIX 1 and KIX 2 talking to SMS VSAM on that MVS, which in turn goes down to talks to the coupling facility and manipulates the data on the DASDI for the VSAM data sets. And you can see that with MV23 and MV24. Okay? The point I want to get across on this foil here is that if CICS1 over here in MV20 has done a read for update, say for key A on a data set, and is in one of those FCRV waits waiting for the record lock, and the owner is on MV24, say it's KIX 5, is the owner of that record lock, then dumping MV20 is not going to be good enough. Okay? We're going to lead into data gathering off of this page here. You'd have to dump, you know, obviously KIX 5, but you don't know if it's KIX 5. So I'm going to show you how to dump all the CICSs and all the SMS VSANs throughout the SysPlex when you have one of these types of problems, or a wait problem, or a like a quiesce problem. You're going to need to dump more than the KIX region. So you're going to have to get in this mode of just dumping KIX is not going to be good enough anymore when it comes to RLS problems. All right, so if we turn the page to 10, This is a simple quiesce, right? So I talked about quiesce a little bit earlier. A problem they knew they were going to have up front when RLS was being developed is, okay, you no longer have the FOR, right? You have everybody, every AO, every application-owning region having the data set locally. So how do you get it? If you want to take that data set offline and do patchwork, say, how do you get it closed? Right, it's not good enough anymore. Before it was over on the FOR, you could just go do a CEMT set file closed disabled, and there'd be no more access to it, and you could take it offline. But now, if you have 100 KIX regions having this open locally, it'd be quite a problem to go into every one of them and issue this command. So you have this thing called a quiesce. And what quiesce does, if we take it over on MBS1, we have AOR1, we have a user transaction issuing a exec kick set DS name, so whatever DS name it is, quiesced. And what that does is go through this long-running task that we talked about earlier, the CFQS, which is a CFQS send. It's a quiesce send task. You can see what that does is goes down and talks to SMS vSAM. Okay? So now SMS vSAM is going to broadcast this quiesce to everybody that has that data set opened in the Sysplex, all right, including the AOR that issued it. So the AOR that issued it doesn't know it has a quiesce yet at this point. So what you can see is SMS vSAM is going to go to the coupling facility. You can see 4A there, the branch 4A, going down the coupling facility. It's going to the SMS vSAM over on MBS2, and AOR2 must have the data set open for update. So it's going to go to the CICS RLS quiesce exit over there and go to the other long-running task, CFQR, which is quiesce receive. You can see it's also doing that over on AOR1 on MBS1. So now the KIX region receives the quiesce, and once it quiesces the data set, it talks back, it sends the response back through CFQR to SMS vSAM and says, yes, I have this data set quiesced. And once SMS vSAM gets all the SMS vSAMs saying, yes, this data set is quiesced, it will set a bit in the ICF catalog for that data set saying this data set's quiesced. Now, what that also does is says it cannot be opened for RLS mode anymore, okay, until you issue something called an unquiesce. So you got to go out of your way to unquiesce the data set. And the reason you do that is because, you know, you don't want other people opening it while you're trying to quiesce it, right? They'll get back in the air saying data set's quiesced. All right, so once it is quiesced, now you can close it to batch, or you can, it's all closed to KIX. You can open it to batch, do your batch updates, come back into CICS and issue an unquiesce command, and then you can open it back up into CICS in RLS mode. But again, what I really want to show you is that if you're having a problem with a quiesce, it could be on AOR1 on MVS1, or it could be on AOR2 on MVS2. Okay, you can't just dump the KIX region anymore. So if we go to the next page, which is page 11, that's a notes page for you. So we're going to skip this, and we're going to go on to page 12, which is gathering documentations for a hang. So say that quiesce hung, right? The data set's not being quiesced. Okay. So this is how you would gather documentation for a hang. We're going to need to get the following spaces. We're going to need the SMS vSAM address space and its data spaces. We're going to need the master address space. We're going to need the XCF address space and data spaces, because XCF is what SMS vSAM uses to talk to the other SMS vSAMs throughout the Sysplex. So there might be some messages, some XCF messages in there that they need. And you're going to need the KIX address spaces. Now, on my system, it just so happened all of mine started with IYNX. So hopefully you have some kind of naming convention with yours, like all your production systems have, you know, kind of the same name, and all your development systems have kind of the same data set file names or KIX region names. And you'll be able to do this as well. But what you want to do, this is just from the console here. So you do your dump com equals KIX and SMS vSAM hang, and you reply your job name. So what's important is here on your job name, you have to have SMSB SAM. You have to have XCFAS. That's the XCF address base. You have to have master, and that's the way you have to put it in. I put it in there exactly like you need it. You need asterisk, master, asterisk. And then my KIX regions, like I said, all of mine were IYNX something. Right, so I could do IYNX star, and it would dump all the KIX regions named IYNX A, IYNX B, C, and so forth. Okay, now, and also important is the DSP name. So on your DSP name, you need, exactly like it says here, single quote XCFAS, single quote dot asterisk. Okay, and you also need the SMSB SAM one. Okay, so it's very important that you dump those data spaces. Now, SData, you really don't have to code SData, but I like to code it just exactly like it is here, because when we talk about this remote keyword underneath, we're going to talk about how powerful that remote keyword is. So I would recommend coding it SData, and I'm going to tell you why in a second once we talk about remote. So the remote keyword underneath that says, I want you to pass XCFAS, SMSB SAM, IYNX SPLAT, and master. I want those four address spaces passed. And I want you to pass DSP name. So whatever I got up here in DSP name, which is XCFAS and SMSB SAM, they're data space names. And I want you to pass SData. And when I say pass, what this remote keyword does, it's very powerful. It's going to pass that to every MVS in the SysPlex. Okay? Every single MVS in the SysPlex is going to dump those four address spaces, it's going to dump what you have in DSP name, and it's going to dump what you have in SData. So the reason I say do SData is I don't know what defaults you have on all your MVSs in the SysPlex. So this would force it to take all these SData parms. All right, so on every MVS, we're going to look at this in a second, on every MVS is going to get one dump, and it's going to contain all of these address spaces and data spaces. It's a very powerful dump command. All right, so if we go to the next page, page 13, we can see this is my syslog on MV23 where I issued that dump command. Okay, and you can see my dump title, KIX and SMSB SAM hang is there in blue. And if you come down, it says I dumped ASIDs 169 Easy and 3 Baker. And I put a little box down there telling you, look, I dumped the master, I dumped XCFAS, I dumped SMSB SAM. And I only had one KIX region on MV23. It was called IYNXV. But the important thing is you can see down here it says remote dumps requested, and it gives you an incident token. Make sure you pay attention to that incident token, because when we go to the next page, page 14, this is my syslog from MV24. And on MV24, you didn't have to do anything, but you got this remote dump for sysname MV23. So it said, I'm taking a remote dump that was requested by MV23. And there's my dump title. And what you got down here is you got the ASIDs again, and here you can see master SMSB SAM, dump services just got dumped, XCFAS, and you can see I had, 5 KIX regions dumped on MV24. And my incident token matches up. You want to make sure you match those incident tokens up. Okay, so now I got a dump on MV23 with one KIX region and all my SMSB, SIM, XCFAS, data spaces, and address spaces. And on MV24, I got a dump with those same things, but with like 5 different KIX regions. So now I'm ready to, at that point, I'm ready to shoot my hang. Okay, I got everything I need. Now, that's not saying if you guys come in to level 2 with a dump of the KIX region that we can't help you, because we certainly will. We'll certainly get as far as we can. We'll make some good guesses and everything. But if we have to send it over to SMSB SAM and they need to go look at, like, buffers in their address space or locks in their address space, then you're not going to have the right data. So this is exactly the right data you're going to need. All right, so if we turn the page to 15, there's some... This is just a notes page on how you can do wildcards in a dump command. So you can read through that at your leisure. And, you know, like I had IYNX splat, so I was able to dump all the IYNX KIX regions. So if we go to the next page, page 16, this is gathering documentation for a SLIP. Now, you probably won't get a SLIP unless a Level 2 support center gave it to you. You just don't go around blindly sending SLIPs, I wouldn't think. So in this example, this was an open of an RLS file failing with the following messages. We got an IEC 161i, return code 6-575, and a DFH Fox Charlie 0987, RLS open of file, RLS file 1 failed, not available for type of processing. And basically what a 6 says is an open of an ACB failed, and the 575 said RLS processing requested, but of the RLS sphere already open for non-RLS processing. So, in other words, somebody had the sphere open, the data set open, RLS calls it a sphere, open for non-RLS processing, and we tried to open it up for RLS processing, and we got this error. Okay? And this is a true one. This is one I recreated that we had from a customer. Excuse me. So I gave them this following SLIP. Now, you can see the SLIP down here, SLIP set, and also in MVS 1.2 and above, very powerful, you can give it message ID. Okay? So I said message ID equals DFH Fox Charlie 0987. So any message that gets written to syslog, to MVS log, you can put message ID in there and get a dump of that message. It's very powerful. So I said my action was a SVC dump. I want my job list to be SMS VSAM and all my KIX regions, right? IYNX splat again. And I want my DSP names to be SMS VSAM. My data, so I'm getting the SMS VSAM address space, and my DSP name says I want the SMS VSAM data space. And again, here's the powerful one, the remote equals. I'm going to pass job list, which was SMS VSAM, and all my KIX regions, and DSP name. Okay? So again, 1.2 and above, you can give it this message ID. So if we turn the page to 17, we can see the syslog from MV23 where I set the SLIP. We can see that we got the IEC 161i, and then we can see we got the DFH Fox Charlie 0987, and we can see that then we got the IEC 611i complete dump on MV23 because the SLIP hit. Okay? And on that, you can see that I dumped ASIDs 3 Baker and 9 EZ, which again were IYNXB and SMS VSAM. And again, I have my incident token. So if we pack, if we turn to the next page, to page 18, we can see over on MV24, again, the SLIP was set on 23. Over on MV24, we got remote SLIP trap ID equals Big E. That was the ID I gave my SLIP. I don't think I mentioned that, but you saw it on the previous page. And on this one, you can see that, you know, the SLIP didn't hit over here, but yet we got the XCFAS address space, we got the SMS VSAM address spaces, the data spaces, and the KIX regions. So if it was one of these KIX regions over here in MV24 that had it in non-RLS mode, if we only dumped the KIX region over on MV23, we wouldn't have had enough, right? Because IYNXP over on MV24 that had it, we wouldn't have had that KIX region to say, yes, look, IYNXP is the one that has it in non-RLS mode. You need to make him give it up. Okay, so documentation gathering is very important in a RLS environment, that you get all of the data spaces and address spaces and the KIX, the SMS VSAM address spaces and data spaces and the KIX regions throughout the SysPlex. And these two ways will show you exactly how to do that. All right, so if we turn the page to 19, that's a notes page for you in wildcards and SLIP commands. So if we turn the page to 20, now, these are the control blocks we're going to be looking at when we start debugging here in a couple of minutes. And these got all the offsets here. So it says CICSTS release 2.2. 2.3, the offsets didn't change. So this is good for 2.2. 2.3, and 3.1 of CICS. 1.3 is a little bit different, and I put it on the next page, but we're not going to go there yet. But 1.3 is a little bit different, and I put it on the next page. And anything I have on this with an asterisk says we're going to talk about it further on a different page. But these are the bits and bytes that we use in our control blocks. The most important control block to file control is this one over here called a FCT. That's the file control table. Okay, it points to the file name at offset 0. It points to the data set name block. But it has that's the representation of the file to CICS. Okay, another very important one is this VSWA, and it's to the left of it. That's a VSAM work area. And what the VSAM work area does is it contains the request parameter list that CICS builds and sends to VSAM to issue the read or issue the write. Okay? So it contains some very important values. And when we're doing the debugging of the FCRV weight, we're going to break these ones down a little bit. So very important that you understand the V's with it. It contains the request parameter list that we send over. If you say exec CICS read file, whatever file name, for update, we set bits on in here, like that plus 30 in the VSWA. Those are the option bits. And we're going to look at those. See, it's got a little asterisk. We're going to look at those in a second. We'll set the update bit on because you said update. We'll make the request type at 00, or I'm sorry, 0able. We'll make that a 00 to say it's a read. Right? So we take what you give us, and we build this RPL, and we send it to VSAM, and VSAM says, oh, it's a read. It's on this file. It's for this key. We got the read field here at 2 Charlie. It's for this key, and it's an update. So I'm going to give that back to the application, which the application to them is CICS, and keep positioning because they said update because they're probably going to want to change it with a rewrite command. All right? But we're going to get to the bits and bytes of that in a little bit. So if you turn to the next page, which is 21, that's the 5.3.0 version. Okay? So it's the same data set. The offsets are a little bit different, though. So if you still got 5.3.0, you want to use this one for your offsets when you start debugging these weights and such. So now we're going to get to, on page 22, some of these control blocks broken down a little bit further. Okay? So one of those control blocks over there was called a FLAB. That's a file lasting anchor block. Okay? And what this is used for is retaining work. In other words, something happened. Right? Say you did a read for update and the server failed, would have to retain that read for update and back it out when the server came back up. Okay? So one of the most ones we see is this under the FLAB plus 3.8 was the FLAB retain reason. This is the reason why it could be retained. You could have had a cache failure. You could have had a RLS catastrophe. It could be in doubt, commit failure, or a kicks failure. But the ones we usually see is one, the FLAB file backout failure. Okay? So when you have this one, when it's a one, FLAB file backout failure, you come down to this 3 Baker. It says FLAB retain reasons 2. And these are all the reasons you can have a backout failure. All right? One of the most popular ones we see, and I think we're going to go over this one later, is the number 6 down there, the FLAB underscore no underscore LDEL. Okay? What that says is you had no logical delete exit, and you tried to back out an ESDS, an entry sequence data set. Okay? We see this quite a bit. Because you cannot physically delete a record from an entry sequence data set, you have to mark it logically deleted. Right? Then you have to take the data set offline and remove the logically deleted records manually and open it back up to CICS. But if you tell us to back out an ESDS and you don't have this logical delete exit, we'll set this FLAB no logical delete exit, and we will retain that piece of work until you tell us to do something with it. And later on, I'll show you how to tell us to do something with it, us being CICS. So we see that quite a bit. Pretty bit, the file request thread elements. And we're going to look at these a little bit when we debug that FCRV weight. But, you know, if it's a 1, you did a read. If it's a 3, you did a read update. If it's a 5, you did a write, and so on. You can read them for yourself. The DSNB bits, I usually don't look at these quite a bit. I just put them in here in case you had a quiesce problem, because you can see there's some quiesce bits in there, like it is quiescing, or you're doing a backup while open and so forth. So there might be a time when you've got to look at the data set name block, and there at ABLE 7 within the data set name block are these bits. Oh, and by the way, we're going to look at the FCP output from our verb exit that lays all these things out. you know, it lays out the data set name blocks, it lays out the FLAB, it lays out the FRIDI. So don't be too afraid of it because we do a lot for you. So if we turn the page to page 23, these are some of the, this is the big one I talked about. This is all the VSWA, that VSAM work area. So in the VSAM work area at offset zero able are things that you've asked us to do. Like if it was a 00, like we said before, that would be a read. If it was a 01, it would be a write. And all the way up to 5 are things that you can tell CICS to do. Okay? You can tell us to do all these things. Now the 15, 17, and I believe it's one Charlie there, the IDA lock add and lock change direction and end lock add are stuff CICS does for you. So you have no control over that. Right? Like when you do a read for update on a say a key sequence data set, a KSDS, and it's recoverable, and then you did the rewrite, we know we have to lock it while you're doing it. Okay? So we set this lock add. All right, and we're going to talk about lock change direction, I think, in a little bit. But you have no control over these things, okay? But down beneath that, and anyways, you got more over there. You got 16, 18, 19, one able, and one Baker. It continues over there to the right. These are all things that CICS does for you. You don't have to worry too much about them, okay? But plus 30 is what we were talking about before. If you did like a read for update, a direct read for update on a VSAM file, you would have, like, at plus 30, you'd have a 40. Okay, and a 40, you'd have the 4-bit on with the, down there that says direct search access because you did a direct read. Okay? And then over in 31, you'd have an 86, right? And we're going to see this. So you'd have a 40, then you'd have an 86. And the 86, the 80-bit says locate record by a key. Okay, that makes sense. I'm going against the KSDS. And user processing wait exit is on. That's something you don't have to worry about. That's something we go through with vSAM. But the important bit is the 2-bit saying update processing. Okay, so the 6 turns into the user processing wait exit and the update processing. So we've done a read for update. And we're going to look at these bits when we do the FCRV wait. So keep in mind that we've talked about them. And this stuff over here at offset 32, that's stuff that we do for you again, whether or not we're going to keep a lock. If you said you wanted a consistent read or a consistent read explicit, we set bits. So if you have questions on those, you can ask me about them after the presentation's given. But we're going to move on to page 24, and we're going to talk about the VSAM RPL macros. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the VSAM RPL macros because I want to get to the debugging. But these, again, are the ones that you have control over, the get, the put, the check, the point, the end rec, and the erase. Okay, those are the ones that you as a user of CICS have control over. On the next page, 25, is the ones that we do for you. Okay, and one of the most important ones is this lock change direction. If you have a recoverable VSAM data set, you told CICS it's recoverable, so now RLS knows it's recoverable, you can now do something called an update within a browse, where before in traditional VSAM you'd have to do a start browse, read next, oh, that's the record I want to update, issue an end browse, issue a read for update for that record, and update it, start your browse over. Okay, with RLS, you can do an update within a browse. Okay, so you can do your read next, oh, that's the one I want to update, and then you update it and just continue doing your read next, okay, which is very powerful. Very powerful, but you have this lock. We have to do this lock change direction because if you tell us it's recoverable, we are going to tell VSAM or tell RLS that you have touched a recoverable piece of work. Now a read next is not recoverable. You didn't do anything, right? So you do a read next, then you do the update. Then we have to tell VSAM change the direction of the lock from don't keep it to keep it. Okay, because now you did a piece of recoverable work. You don't want to lock those first three up that you did the read next on. Right? You don't want to lock those. You want to leave those available for other people to get to. But you do want to lock the one you did the update on. So lock change directions, nothing you really control, but you do control it by saying you wanted to do an update. But we set it, and it's nothing you have to worry about. So if we turn the page to 26, these are some more of the ones that we do for you. So if you have questions on them, fine. But let's just move on to 27. These are, I just wanted to make this complete. These are other ones that we do for you. And if you have questions on them, you can ask me. But again, you have no control over them. It's what we do for you on behalf of ESA, on behalf of RLS. So what I want to get to is page 28, and we're going to start using CEMT to beat debug. Okay. So in this scenario, this is one we see from customers all the time. I wrote a transaction called UPDT, which wrote three records to a brand new entry sequence data set with log all. So I'm doing forward and backward recovery. I'm doing back out and forward. The important part is going to be back out. So after I wrote those three records, transaction UPDT received a nav end OC4, which caused back out to occur. Right? You didn't sync point. You didn't end the transaction. You had no C4, so we're going to back out those three records that you issued. So CICS will issue this message, DFH Fox Charlie 4701, back out failed for the transaction. VSAM file, tell you the VSAM file, the unit of work, the data set name, and the failure code. And the failure code 40 is logical delete for an ESDS data set was not performed because the XFCLDEL exit either chose not to carry out the logical delete or it wasn't enabled. And usually it's not enabled. We see this all the time. So they say, back it out, but I don't have a logical delete exit. So now what we're going to do is shunt that piece of work. Those three records are now shunted. Okay, so you can see a back out failure has occurred during sync point processing for transaction UPDT. The transaction will be allowed to complete normally. So the transaction completes normally, but those three records that it just wrote are shunted. No one else can get to them. Okay? So if we get to the next page, which is 29, we have another transaction called RDUP, which I'm not very good at naming transactions. You could tell it's probably going to be a read for update. Attempts to issue a read for update using RBA 0. So in an ESDS, you start at 0 and you work your way to the end. So the very first record is always going to be RBA 0. And that's going to be the first record that transaction UPDT wrote to the ESDS. So at this point, we'll issue this message, DFH Fox Charlie 0169. We'll tell you the transaction, we'll tell you the transaction number, and we'll tell you it encountered the retained lock. We'll tell you the data set name and the unit of work, and we'll tell you the Apple ID. So, you know, RDUP could have been ran on MVS, or the first one, UPDT, could have ran on MVS 1. RDUP could be running on MVS 5 a week later. Right, and it's going to get this message. And so we give you a lot of good information telling you data set, unit of work, and what Apple ID holds that retained lock. Okay, very important. And then you get an AEX8, which says lock condition not handled unless you handled your lock condition. Okay, so if we turn to the next page, page 30, what I'm going to do is you take that UOW that we got. We gave you the UOW on the previous page, and I'm going to do an inquire UOW on it. And I'm just going to use the last couple of bits, so I put UOW splat 70483. Okay. And if you go down and put a question mark next to that, you can see that its wait state is shunted. So we know it's shunted. Well, we are kind of knew that. Its wait state is data set. So what I'm going to do now is issue a inquire UOW DSN fail. And if you put a question mark next to that, you can see the cause is data set, and the reason is delete exit error. So with that information right there, you can say, this could be a week later that RDUP tried to read-update that guy. You could say, oh, well, look, at that UOW shunted. It shunted because, oh, look, it didn't, it's got delete exit error. We must not have XFCLDEL running on that region over there on that MVS, and those records got shunted. Okay, so if we turn to the next page, what you can do for that, if you don't care about those records, you can do a set data set name, whatever the data set name is, reset locks. And this is the output you'll get from a reset locks. I call it cover your butt output because that's exactly what we're doing. You're telling us to reset a lock, which is a pretty powerful thing to do, right? So we put out DFX Fox Charlie 3003, record not backed out because locks for a backout failed data set have been reset. Diagnostic message follows in DFH Fox Charlie 3010. We give you the record, we give you the data set name, and we give you the file name. And we do that for every record there was that you said make normal by this reset locks. Okay? So that's one way to get out of that. Now, another way, the way I'd prefer to get out of it is if you, and I don't think I put this in here, if you really care about back out to an ESDS, you should have XFCLDEL active, right? There's a sample one in SDFH SAMP that you can use, and once you get that activated, you can do a retry. Instead of doing reset locks, you can set data set name, whatever the data set name is, retry. And it'll logically delete those records, and you'll be able to move on. Okay? So if we go to the next page, which is 32, so that was debugging. I just wanted to show you how easy it was to debug something with CEMT. Now, if we're going to go to page 32, this is going to be problem two. This is one This is one called lock structure full. Okay, this is one I actually went on site to, and I think the people might be in the conference now, so they're probably going to recognize this one. But they had a lock structure full condition, and lock structure full, like I said before, was you have the you got IGW lock 00 in the coupling facility that contains the structure of locks for RLS, and if that gets full, you can't add any more locks. Okay, so what's important on this one is you can see that we're putting out this DFHRM 0205, and activity key point has been successfully taken. And after that, you can see DFHLG 0760, log stream. My log stream was not trimmed by key point processing. Number of key points since this last occurred is 1. I would say one time that happens is bad. As you can, and it gives you the task. We give you a lot of good information. We give you it's held by transaction WWML, and it's task number 247. You can see we went through this once, twice, three times, four times. So four times we went to activity key point, and we were not able to trim the tail of the log that says. So that says somebody's writing a lot of records out there to the log, and they're not sync pointing or they're not terminating. If they're sync pointing, we could trim those off, right? If they terminate, we could trim those off. Terminate normally, we can trim those off. But if they're sitting there writing and not sync pointing, then it continues to grow. And in this case, we can see it was task number 247, transaction WWML. And eventually, we get this AFDH ab in, okay? And AFDH basically in a, says your lock structure's full. You can see we also put out a Charlie 4. If you go back to our retained reasons, I know it's a few pages back, so I'm not going to make us go back to it. But you can see that a Charlie 4 in the retain codes of that flab retain codes meant lock structure full. Okay, so these are the messages you'll get. And on the next page, here's what we know so far. We know that there were 4 DFHRM 0205 messages indicating an activity key point was taken, but the tail for DFH log was not trimmed. We know 247 transaction name WWML was the holder of the history point in DFH log. We know transaction WWML received the admin AFDH and went into backout processing. Okay, and AFDH says vSAM's return to response indicating that RLS lock structure in the coupling facility is full. vSAM RLS cannot make any more new locks. Then we know it received a Fox Charlie 4701 return code hex Charlie 4 during backout processing, and again that says vSAM's return of response indicating RLS lock structure in the coupling facility is full. At this time, the transaction completes, but now all the locks it held will be shunted. Okay, very important. All the locks this guy held are shunted out in on our log, and they're still in the lock structure, IGW lock 00. So if we go to the next page, page 34, these are some CEMT commands you can issue. If you do a CEMT inquiry UOW, you can see our UOW down there. It's got BAC, so it's back out, and it's got shunted, saying it's shunted, okay? SHU saying it's shunted, transaction WWML. Remember, we were 247. Okay, so 247 WWML is in back out, and it's shunted. Not good news. If you do a CEMT inquiry UOW DSN fail, you can see the reason is lock structure full. So again, CICS is giving you a lot of good information. Okay. So if we go to the next page, 35, this is a command you can issue from the MBS console, and it's a display XCF command, STR for stream or structure. Structure name is IGW-LOCK00. One thing to take a note of is your policy size. So this lock structure is 8192K. Okay, and it's reached its max size. And if you go down there, you can see actual size 8192K. So entries in use is 23,597, and it's 100% full. So again, a good display, this one provided by XCF. So there's 23,597 locks that are also shunted in CICS that no one else can get to. Okay? So, and the lock structure's full. So if we turn to the next page, 36, this is a SHCDF command that I want you to get familiar with. They're pretty good. So if you issue this from TSO option 6, SHCDS list subsys open parent all close parent, you can see, you know, these are all the kicks regions. IOA Annex Q doesn't need recovery. If you go down, you see IOA Annex V, recovery needed, yes. If you go over to the right, it says locks retained 23,587. So we're seeing everything's matching up. So IOA Annex V has retained locks, and there's 23,587 of them. Okay, if we go to the next page, 37, here's what you can do to get out of this. Now, I'm going to give you a couple options. Three. So, option one, you can rebuild the lock structure to a larger size to allow backout to continue. Okay, now in our scenario, the lock structure was already at the maximum size allowed in the coupling facility. Remember, it was 8192 and it was full. If this is the case, you have to perform these additional steps. So, if it's already at the max size, you have to define a CFRM policy that has a larger IGW-LOCK00 structure size. You have to make the new CFM policy the active policy by issuing the set XCF start, comma, policy, comma, type equals CFRM, comma, pol name equals your new policy name. Okay? You have to perform the rebuild of the structure with either of the following commands. Okay, so I gave you a couple of set XCF commands you could use to rebuild that structure. And then, so that's going to rebuild it into a larger lock structure that you made using the new CFRM policy, okay? So to reinitiate the backout, once that's done, you got to come back into CICS and do the CEMT set data set name, whatever your data set name is, retry. All right, so you got to go through those steps if it's already at the maximum size. Now, if you're already prepared for a larger lock structure through your CFRM policy, you just need to reissue the rebuild command. So in your CFRM policy, you can say my minimum size is like 4 meg, and my maximum size is 8 meg. So if you did that and you hit the 4 meg mark, right, you can just rebuild to the 8 meg one, and it's not a problem. So I would very much look into doing that in case you ever run into this problem, because you don't want to go through these other steps. It seems simple when you look at it here on paper, but, you know, people are going around running crazy when this stuff happens, and I don't know, it just takes a little bit longer than what it seems like it would. Okay, so if we turn to the next page, page 38, here's a recovery option 2. If you're not concerned about the records residing in the RLS data set, then you can issue the following command. You can do a CEMT set data set name, whatever your data set name is, reset locks. Very powerful, because you're saying, you know, you told us you wanted to have backout on those records, that's why we got the locks, but now you're saying forget about it. Okay? And what I did here was show you what happened when I did a read for update of the data set before using the reset locks. So I did a read file, RLS backo, RID, AAAA, which is my key for update. You can see my response down there was locked. Okay? So if you go to the next page, 39, you can see I did a set data set name, USASSC1 backout RLS reset locks. Now, here's the output message user. Again, you're going to get this DFH POX Charlie 3003 and the 3010 for every lock that was released. So we had 23,597. You're going to get 23,597 sets of these messages. Okay? So expect your message user to take up a little bit of the spool while that's being written out. So if we go to the next page, page 40, now I'm doing the read file. After I did that reset locks, you can see I'm doing a read file, the same thing, read RLS back O, read AAAA update, and I got back a normal. Now, is that good? I don't personally think that's good because you told us to back that record out, and now I'm able to update it. Okay? But remember, reset locks just tells vSAM, forget about that lock, leave it there. Okay, take it out of the lock, pick it out of IGW lock 00. Okay? We no longer have a lock on it. Now, if we go to the next page, page 41, there is a third option that you could use that depends on how many locks you have. Okay? When the lock structure error is set, there are some internal locks that RLS releases. In my case, there were 40. Okay, so they had 40 locks that they released. So I sat there and I issued the CEMT set data set name, my data set name retry. Okay, since there were only 40 locks available, what you do is you start reading DFH log, CICS will read DFH log and say, back this lock out, or back this record out, and it does it 40 times, then it gets lock structure full again because you need a lock when you're backing out as well. Okay, but 40 records to get back out. You can actually back out 40 records at a time until you get to the end of your 23,597. Now, one of the bad things is that it's going to read from the beginning of the log every time. Okay? So it takes a little bit of time. The first time to read the first 40 records is fine, but when you get down to the last, what it's going to do is read the log. It's going to get back a record not found. It's going to go to vSAM, get back a record not found. And it's going to do that until it gets down to, like, you know, it's done that 23,000 so many times, then it finally starts backing out those ones that it hasn't backed out yet. So it takes a long time to do this. I know that can be kind of confusing, so if you got questions on that at the end, please tell me, but it's almost running out of time here, so I'm going to try to speed this up a little bit because I want to get to the good one here. So if you go to the next page, which is page 42, I believe, you can see that this is recovery option 3 still. You can see each time I did this back out, I failed, but you're going to back out 40 at a time. You can see at first it went from 2014-55 on the first DFH Fox Charlie 4701 to 2015-50. So that took almost a minute. When you get down to the last one, you can see that it went from 2024-34 to 2026-34, so it took 2 minutes to read to back out those last 40. So like I said, it's very CPU intensive, and it's a long time doing it, but you can do it that way, and I would do it that way if you only had like 50 or 60 locks that were affected. But this time there was 23,000, is why it took so long. All right, what I want to do is get on to the next page, which is, I believe, 44, and this is, no, not 44. I'm sorry, 43, I believe. And this is debugging an FCRV weight. So, like I said earlier, an FCRV weight is the same as the old file control FCIO weight. So if you have a task waiting on resource type FCRV weight, it means the task is waiting within vSAM for IO to take place, or for RLS, it's waiting for a retain lock. Okay? A wait on this occurs when conflicts over shared or exclusive locks are deferred internally by vSAM and not returned as an error condition to CICS. Conflicts which can cause an FCRV wait are task issues, a file control read-update request for a record for which another task already holds an exclusive lock on. Okay? Or one or more tasks hold a shared lock. All right? With RLS, you can do shared locks. It's something you can't do with regular vSAM. You can do shared locks. And if you have questions on shared locks, I'd really love to talk to you about it, because it's very powerful, but you'd have to wait till after the presentation. You can ask me about it. A task issues a file-controlled read request with consistent or repeatable integrity, and these are the shared locks I was talking about, consistent or repeatable, and another task already holds an exclusive lock. Okay? So that's what can get you into this kind of situation. So if we turn the page to 44, what I did was I took a dump, like I showed you earlier how to do, okay, gathering documentation for a hang. I took that same dump. All right? So what I'm going to do in this dump I have is I'm going to go into where I knew the FCRV weight was occurring on, which was IYNXW Kix region on MVS MV24, and I'm going to issue my CICS burb exit with DFHPD DS equal 1, so I'm going to look at the dispatcher. Okay, so with a quick DS equals 1, we already know a lot of information, right? We know the weight type is FCRV weight. You can see it down there. We can see the file name. What I want to point out is the SUSP area, that's the ECB address. That's the ECB we're waiting on, okay? And then we got the transaction number is 55, okay? What I want you to also see is there's not a D timeout set. So there's not a timeout due. So they didn't have D timeout. Now, there is an overall timeout for RLS. It's called F timeout. If used, it will not show up on the timeout due, okay? RLS will time us out of... We put a RLS timeout in there, this F timeout, when we send it to BSAM, so it won't show up on timeout due, but he has no D timeout set, or else that would show up on timeout due. So we don't know how long F timeout is set up for yet, but I'll show you how to do that. Okay, so on the next page, 45, this is our debugging information part one. We already know task number 55 issued a file control request on Kix region IYNXW, which is running on MVS LPAR MV24. We know it's in an FCRV weight against RLS file 1 and does not have D timeout set. And we're waiting for this ECB to be posted, right? So if we go to the next page, what I did was, again, we're still on IYNXW on MV24. I issued my CICS verb exit with an FCP equals 3, okay? And what I did was a find on that RLS file 1, and you can see it down here about midway through the page. We have this great summary that says, is it RLS? Yes, we got it set to yes. It's open and enabled, so the data set's open and enabled. And there's its data set name block, that 1able4bigger12able0, that's the address of its data set name block. Remember on our control block structures, we talked about the data set name block. So if you find the data set name block address, you'll see it down here, and it tells you some good information as well. So you just do the find on that address, and you found it down here in your data set name block summary. It tells you the key length, your key position. And this thing called BRO is yes, which says, does the base cluster block have RLS ACBs open? So yes. So lots of good information in that. I just wanted to show it to you. So if we go to the next page, okay, what we did was we found the FC, what we did here is we found the FCTE for RLS file 1, okay? So in the FCTE, there's a lot of good information, like offset 60 is a pointer to the data set name block, and offset able 8 is a pointer to the ACV pointer. These, again, are on those control block layouts I gave you earlier. But I just wanted to show you here that the FCTE, and right underneath the FCTE, it points to the ACB is also laid out. So there's nothing really on this page that's going to help us debug this. I just wanted to show you that the FCTE and the ACB are laid out with an FCP equals 3. Our verb exits are very powerful. You're going to find on this problem with... It's a tough problem, but I never left the verb exits until I had to do a RLS type of thing, and we'll get to that. But I never went into storage. I just used the CICS verb exits. They're very powerful. So if we turn to the next page, to 48, what I got here is the data set name block. Now, under the data set name block, remember we got the address, so we can find the data set name block. And underneath the data set name block there at 54 is a pointer to the VSW anchor. All the VSWs will be underneath the data set name block, okay? Now, these are the important fields. And remember, this is the VSW I was talking about, which has important fields in it, like the 0able, the 00, so we know that's a read. Offset 10 is the ECB address. We can see that offset 10's got an 80 that's not posted, okay? And 80 means you're not posted. Another important thing there is, remember I said in the RPL, we set the F timeout value and sent it to VSAM. We can see our F timeout value there is FOXFOX0. Okay? That's 68 minutes. So that's a huge F timeout value. And we got some good other things in there. We got the pointer to the FCT. We got the pointer to the key there at 2 Charlie. We got the TCA pointer. If you ever want to know what task it's associated with and so forth, you can go to the TCA. We got the Fritty pointer. And you can see the key at offset Baker 4 is AAAA. Now, offset 30, remember we talked about 4086, right? In the back on the breaking down the bits of the VSWA, 4086. We're doing a direct keyed request update
We're doing a keep lock and no read integrity. That's what those bits mean. You can take this back to those bits and say, yes, that's exactly what those bits mean. Okay, so if we go to the next page, page 49, still in my FCP equals 3, what I did now is find my transaction. Zeros, we know it's transaction 55, so I found my FRAB, FLAB, and FRIDI chain. Okay, so if you look in the FRAB, the very first one, you can see the transaction over there on the right-hand side is UPD1, right? You can see it over there on the right-hand side, UPD1. That's the transaction. We have our FLAB pointer, our TCA pointer, our task number. Just to make sure our task number at offset 40 is a 55, it all matches up okay. And down to the FLAB, we have the FRAB pointer, so it points back to the FRAB. We can see that's right. It's got the FCT pointer and the FRIDI pointer. Now down in the FRIDI, we can see that the FRIDI at offset, we looked at this, offset 18 is the function. And the 03 says read for update. So we can see everything's going as planned, right? Nothing's bad yet. Everything's fine. We know we've done a read for update. So if we go to the next page, we got a lot more debugging information. Now we know transaction number 55, and we know the transaction was UPD1, issued a read for update. We know it's a read for update now. We know the key was AAAA on IYNXW running on MB24. We know task number 55 is in the FCRB weight, and now we know not only the file name, but the data set name, and we know the F timeout set to 68 minutes. And we know that we're still waiting for that ECB to be posted. All right, so now on the next page, this is the part you have to go out of CICS for. It's something called IGWVIPCS. It's just like the KIX verb exit, but it's for RLS. Okay, RLS provides this, IGWVIPCS. So I'm going to show you what you need to do to look at locks. So we know we have a lock situation, right? So on the command line in IPCS, you enter IGWVIPCS, then you select option 3, which is vSIM RLS Storage Management Locking Service Analysis. Okay, we want to go look at these locks. Then you select option 3 again, which is all lock requests. Okay, so on the next page, it gives you this output. So what I did was search on my key, AAAA. All right, and what I got here, there's my key, AAAA. There's my cluster name. You got to make sure that matches up, usassc1.cicsrelease620.rls. And there's my ownership. It says IYNXW, and there's my UOW ID. Okay. Now, there's the RPL ID down here a little bit ways, and that matches our RPL. If you go back through the notes here, you can see that that is our RPL. And it says held 0, waiting 1. So when it says held 0 down there at the bottom, it doesn't hold this. Nobody on this MBS holds that lock. But we have one guy waiting for it. And that's who it is, the guy up above us right here, right? And we know that's us, IYNXV, key AAAA, that RPL ID. He's waiting for that lock. But nobody on this MBS holds it. So unfortunately, when that happens, when you go to the next page, remember you got dumps of every MBS, you go to the next dump, and you run IGWVIPCS, and you do a find on the key, AAAA. And hopefully you don't have 16 MBSs, or if you do, hopefully you find it on the first or second dump. So I went to the IGWVIPCS and MB23, so this is on now MB23, and did a find for my key. And I can say, oh, yeah, it matches up to USASSC1, CSCSR620.RLS.data. Yes, that's my data set. Here's the ownership ID, IYNXV, UOW ID. And it gives me the RPL, very important. You remember that RPL? And it says held 1. So now I know IYNXV holds that lock. Okay? So now I can get, if you go to the next page, there's debugging information part 3. And the only thing that's really changed here is the bottom. The owner of key AAAA is KIX region IYNXV, which is running on MBS LPAR MB23, using that RPL, very important. And the RPL starts at plus 8 into the VSO. We talked about that earlier. Okay. All right, we're getting close now. We're really getting somewhere. So on the next page, page 55, I have to go into IYNXV and MB23. So now I'm working basically backwards from I found the lock. I found we needed the lock, and now I'm trying to find out who owns the lock. So I'm kind of working backwards. So what I do is I issue a find for my VSO. Remember, it gave us the RPL ID, and the RPL starts at plus 8 into the VSWA. right? So you got minus 8 from that address, and all I did was go into FCP equals 3 for IYNXV and issued a fine for that RPL. And I'm going to find it, remember, or fine for the VSWO, I'm sorry. Remember, I'm going to find it underneath my data set name block. And sure enough, there it is underneath my data set name block. There is that VSWO. And we can see, again, this guy's done a read for update. Okay? Just like the other guy did, the key thing in here is look at the ECB at offset 10. It's got a 40. That's saying he's posted. Okay, the ECB's posted, but he's done a read for update, so he still holds the lock on key AAAA. All right, so if we go to the next page, page 56, right now we pretty much know enough, but I'm going to go show you anyways the FRAB, FLAB, and FRIDI chain for what we did was do a find on the FRIDI, right, that we got out of the previous page. They had a pointer to the FRIDI, and look, it falls under task 261, okay? And again, it's UPD1, right, over here on the right-hand side of the FRAB. We can see it's UPD1. We got all this good information. Again, the FRIDI tells us we've done a read for update. But now we know it's task 261 that did it. Very important. So if we go to the next page, page 57, now we know task 261 issued a read for update against that using RLS file 1, that same data set name, and we know the ECB and the VSWA for task 261 has been posted. Okay? So if we go to the next page, page 58, if I issue a DS equal 1, and go find that 261. We can see it all the way over there on the right-hand side, 261, issued a fine for 261. He's in interval control wait. All right, so he's done a read for update on that key, and now he's in interval control wait. Not good. And if I issued a PG equals 1 for my verb access, I can do a find again on my transaction number 261, and I can see the program right now is called read update. Okay, you can see that down there. You can see his entry point, very important as well. So if we go to the next page, page 59, now we know that task 261 is an interval control wait issued from program read update. Okay, so what we know is that 261 issued a read for update for key AAAA on that data set and is now an interval control wait. And somebody way over on MV23 wants that key. Right? Wants that lock. And he's not going to get it until this guy comes out of his interval control wait and does something with it. Either rewrites it and then sync points or terminates. That's what's going to get rid of that lock. Or F timeout set to 68 minutes. After 68 minutes, the other guy would get timed out. Okay, so on the next page, page 60, is steps to avoid this FCRV wait. So you could code the DFH sit parameter F timeout to a sensible value. The dump showed the maximum value of 4080 seconds, which was 68 minutes, I believe. But again, what that's going to do is abend the guy that's waiting. It's not going to do anything to the guy that's in the IC wait. Right? Once F timeout hits, it's going to abend the guy that's waiting for the lock. Okay? You can code a D timeout value in the transaction definition. Now remember, D timeout takes precedence over F timeout, but again, that's going to abend the guy waiting. Or, and this is what I would prefer you do, recode the program not to issue a read for update followed by a delay. If F timeout or D timeout were set properly, the task waiting would have received an AFCV abend. And if we turn the page over to page 61, we can see messages from an AFCV abend that would have happened. And very, very good messages we give. You can see that we put out the DFH AC2206, IYNXW transaction, UPD1 fell with an AFCV. Fine. That's not too exciting. DFH Foxtrot 0164, a request is timed out waiting for an hour or less lock. There are one transactions or transactional VSAM units of work recovery holding us luck. Okay, again, not very exciting. Here's what's exciting. We put out DFH Foxtrot 0165. IYNXW, UPD1, 00041 TC37, kicks user transaction, UPD1, task number 03905, this unit of work, running in job, IYNXV, with Apple ID, IYNXV, in MVS, MV23, holds exclusive lock on key Charlie 1, which is AAAA, in the data set, causing true contention. It gives you everything you need in that message that we just went through to say, wow, someone in IYNXV holds that. I can go do a CEMT inquire task on them. I can see they're in an IC weight. I can go bop the programmer in the head to see why he did that, right, after you purge it and let the guy get his lock. So very good information if you had D timeout or F timeout set correctly. So if we go to the next page, 62, this would be a display inquire task on that 39005. So once you got that message, you'd go over there and you'd do a display on him, and you'd see, oh, he's in an IC wait. If you do an inquire, if you put a question mark underneath it, you can see the current program is read for update. So great information again. So if you go to the next page, this is our summary. We went over new RLS admins and weights. We went over documentation gathering. We went over kicks, RLS control blocks, macros, and debugging RLS weight structures, bulls, and some RLS abends. I'd like to take this time to go to the next page, and we can open it up to questions if we have any. So if Duane wants to come back on and get us into question mode, that would be great.
Certainly. Again, for the phone audience, it is *1 if you'd like to ask a question. If you've been utilizing your mute button, you'll want to make sure that is disengaged. Again, *1 if you do have a question. We do first have a question from Sylvia with IBM. Sylvia, you have to help me with your last name.
Roxana. I just wonder if you have a copy of the presentation that we could, that I could keep.
Yes. Kathy, do you know that? Do you know how she gets that?
Yeah, the presentation is going to be at a tech doc on any IBM support site, and the tech doc number is 700-6627.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll next go to John Hambridge with Wells Fargo.
Yes, on your dump command with your SDump options, you said to dump all CICS address spaces on all LPARs within the SysPlex.
Yeah, John, I know you guys got tons, right?
We have tons. What
yeah.
type of overhead or how would that affect processing while that dump request is satisfied.
Yeah, it would affect processing while the dump request was being satisfied. In your situation, and I've been through this, I believe Fidelity's on the line as well. I've been through this with them as well. You have to do a little bit of more homework up front to say, okay, I know you guys got monitors and so forth, and you can kind of go through those and see that what CICS regions are involved as opposed to dumping every one of them.
So what we'd have to do is just list the 20 or so CICS regions that might be involved in.
Yes, but you still do need the SMS vSAM and the data spaces from every MVS. So there will be a dump on every MVS, and there's no way to get around that. And when you dump, though, it depends on all. One good thing is that I didn't include GRSQ. Let me go look. GRSQ is the one that really slows you down on a dump command.
Okay.
God, let me get back here real quick. Oh, I did say GRSQ. You can take GRSQ off if you want, or there's also, if you send me my email, I can give you a way to get out of the GRSQ problems if everybody has them. There is a way to get out of them. It'll take too long to explain here, but my email is eaddison, eaddison. @us.ibm.com, and it's GRSQ that really slows you down, and I can tell you how to get out of that if you send me an email and still get GRSQ data.
Okay, so it's eaddison@ibm?
At us, uncleSugar.ibm.com, or United States.ibm.com.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, next then go to David Campbell with SunTrust.
Hi, I read in one of the manuals that ESDS update files have performance problems under RLS. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, ESDS performance files, performance is a problem. I think, in fact, we put something in our documentation, and if you give me 2 seconds, I can get there. The problem with it is, ESDS is, you can only add to the end of an ESDS, right?
Right.
And the end is sort of this, what is the end? It's when you got like 50,000 people writing to an ESDS at the same time, it's kind of nebulous what the end is. So VSAM or RLS has to put these write-to-end locks on the for the request, and that's what takes the time. Let me try to get it here real quick. But it's these write-to-end locks that are the problem. What some people do, though, is only have I've had some customers T-class it to 1. Right, T-class a transaction that's writing the ESDS to 1. That way, there's not going to be multiple people writing to it at the same time. I don't know if that – it didn't sound right to me, but it worked for them. Okay.
Do you have an idea of how bad – I mean, how much worse it is?
It was worse enough – it was bad enough to put in a something in our performance guide about it. So let me see what it what we put in our performance guide is when new records are added to the end of an ESDS and RLS access mode, the acquisition of locks on the various calls required to VSAM to satisfy the request might cause long response times for the operation. And the reason we put that in there is because it is true. ESDS and RLS doesn't function as well as KSDS and RLS. Now, what saying that, if anybody in your shop goes to share or the tech conference, I'm writing a tech conference pitch. I'm in the process of doing that right now. That's going to go into performance of RLS and ESDS and KSDS versus, you know, function shipping and so forth. So, or if you send me your name, I can give you that pitch once I'm done with it, and I'll give you exact figures of what this performance problem is,
okay.
You know, what the difference is between regular ESDS update and an RLS ESDS update.
All right, thanks.
We'll next go to Paul Crooks with United Health Group.
Hi. I was wondering about that, the logical delete exit.
Yes.
And it sounds like it would be very important to have that in place, so why would it be optional to turn it on or to enable that exit?
Right. I don't think CICS forces any exit upon a customer. Is the answer? Not that I know of. And it does take a little bit. If an exit's running, it does take something away from, you know, storage. It takes something. We have to go see if the exit's running. If the exit's running, we have to go through a code path to verify that it's running and such. So I'm not saying the CPU is horrendous. But it is, you know, a little bit of code path that some customers might not want if they don't have any back out on their ESDS. This is only for customers that do want ESDSs backed out. Most customers, a lot of customers, an ESDS is, to me is more like a scratch pad type of a thing. And if you really wanted recovery, I'd put it in a KSDS, the reason being that, for one reason, you don't have to run with an exit and everything's done for you. And there is, like I said, even in regular VSAM, the end of an ESDS is kind of this nebulous thing. So if you got lots of people writing to it at the same time, it is a little bit slower than writing to an writing to a KSDS.
So the recommendation is not to.
Well,
it just if you have an occurrence of it,
if you have to back out of ESDS, then the recommendation is to run with logical delete exit active.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Buzz Quarles with UCLA Medical Center.
Hey, Buzz, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I just had a quick question as to what recommendations you had for options for actually backing up RLS VSAM files. We've been struggling with the AFCKs for non-BWO versus having the backups fail if the CI or CA splits when you're actually updating it while doing the backup.
Yeah. You will get the AFCKs for the non-BWOs if the non-BWO's backup is being done. Are you using like DFHSM or DSS to do the backup? Or are you using like FastDump Restore? Or?
We're actually doing ABARs, so we're doing DSS.
Okay. Well, Buzz, I mean, we can get into like a half-hour discussion on this, and that's fine with me. But I know your number, and I don't think we're going to have enough time to cover this in the 4 minutes that we got.
I was just trying to throw it out there and see what the general user community is doing, because
yeah.
I can only look around and say these are the choices we've made. So,
right.
Anyhow, okay, we can talk later. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Buzz.
Presentation.
All right, again, as a reminder, it is star one for an initial question or follow-up, and we'll next go to Mike Giaquinto with Wells Fargo.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Ed, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Nice to hear you. I have a question, and actually, while I was waiting, I heard a couple of things that I wanted to just comment on, but the question, along the same lines as John Hammage was saying, we have a lot of LFRs, and knowing which ones to dump is a problem. If I had to ask for something, it'd be nice to be able to say dump to SMS vSAN as a command, not as an MVS command.
Yeah, that actually, Mike, they have that. There's, I can't guarantee you when that's coming out, but there's a lot of things that's one of the things RLS knows about. And another thing they know about that might please everybody is to have separate buffer pools, so you don't have to share the buffers between test and development. You know. Because there's only one buffer pool over there in the SMS vSAN address space.
Oh,
right.
So if you have everything on one LFAR.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's not our issue. But.
Okay. But, yeah, they know that. They do know that it is a requirement be able to tell SMS vSAN to dump it for them to figure out who.
Which LFARs are
yeah,
the ones
which,
that own the lock.
Yeah, they know. They do know which ones own the lock. Unfortunately, there's no easy way to get to it with any commands or anything at this point.
Great. So that was my question. I don't know if it was a requirement. A follow-up to that is, and I think you answered, but just to make sure, with a single command, can I say, show me all, like within CSS, I can see the unit of work. Can I do that to SMS vSAN, where it will go out and display everything for a file, a key, or something that shows these are all the outstanding units of work on each LFAR?
Yeah, that's with that. I didn't show a lot of them, but it's with that shcdf command. There's more commands like that.
And that's there now. So I can right now, if I have a deadly break or some sort of hang situation, I can say, show me all the locks on each LFAR for this file?
Yeah, but they won't show you the all it'll show you is how many they hold. It won't show you the exact locks, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that'd be nice to be able to have. Should I make a request for that?
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to go to, open up a problem record to the RLS group and say, I mean, I think that might be one too, because when I went on an on-site Fidelity in Arkansas this year, and I think they talked about that, so it might already be a requirement that they want to know, which locks does it hold? Don't just tell me how many, which
right.
ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just to follow up on I heard about the ESDS, we've had that problem, too, with adding to the end. Exclusive control conflicts on the CI because everybody's writing to the end. And this
right.
is non-RLS. This is plain vSAN. And what we had to do was put our string number to one.
Yes.
So only one at a time is going there, and you don't get an exclusive control conflict.
And it's actually quicker because you're not doing the thrashing.
Right. The waiting on the string is faster than the waiting on the exclusive control conflict. Right.
Right.
So
whoever asked that question is probably the same in RLS as well.
That's what I want to ask. Is it the same?
Yeah, it's because you're not waiting on the at the end lock anymore. If you got one, right, you're not thrashing. What the problem is if you get like 100 people trying to do it at the same time, you got 100 people locked out, and then when the lock is given to the next person, it frees everybody else up, and it frees everybody up, and they all fight for the lock. Right, and it's going to be given to somebody else, and 99 rest of them are going to be put into a wait again. So it's easier. It's easier to do. Sometimes it's easier to say string one and not wait for that lock than it is to fight for it.
And that's what we found. Yeah, that worked for us. That
yeah.
helped. And on the logical delete question, the other thing is. Sometimes you can't know what a logical delete is, right? If some person wants to put an X in position 1, another person wants to
right.
put high values in position 5,
right.
something indicates logical delete.
So it's something in the logical delete. Now, the default one, SDF8SAMP, I believe, put a FOX in byte position 2.
Oh, cool.
Right? So, but if you have a record that, if you have an ESDS record that could have a FOX in byte position 2, it might get mistaken for a logically deleted one.
Right.
So you really have to look and say, a lot of people say, I'm never going to write to the first byte, right? And my first byte's going to be either a 00 or a FOX. If it's a FOX, it's been logically deleted. If it's a 00, it's not.
Thanks very much, Ed. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
And with that, there are no further questions.
At this time, thanks, Duane. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you, and we really appreciate your participation. Remember that a replay of this presentation will be available on the IBM WebSphere Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thanks very much, and thank you, Ed, for presenting today.